card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards present The Hand on the Latch, starring Dorothy McGuire. Now to preside over our program, here's your Hallmark host, Les Tremaine.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Our drama tonight is one of the most unusual stories we have ever presented on this program. And we have a star of extraordinary talent to play the exacting role of the heroine in tonight's drama. She is young, but already she has established herself as a great actress, as you know if you saw her in her most recent picture, Gentleman's Agreement. We are proud to present Dorothy McGuire. Dorothy, it's a pleasure to have you with us tonight. How do you feel about tonight's story?
Oh, I'm thrilled with tonight's story, Les. Of course, I know most of your plays are true, but if this one actually happened, then surely truth is stranger than fiction. It's like a dream I used to have as a child, that a door is slowly opening and I can't see who's on the other side of it.
And you couldn't even guess who was there?
No more than I could in tonight's story.
Well, that's a shivering situation when you can't identify an intruder. But what I'd like to know is, can you identify a Hallmark card? Do you know that quick little trick?
I know. You teach that to all the stars. You just turn the card over and look on the back for those three little words. A Hallmark card.
That's right, Dorothy. Because those three little words, a Hallmark card, tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. But now let's try to identify that hand on the latch. Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you on the Reader's Digest radio edition, The Hand on the Latch, starring Dorothy McGuire.
Except when the fingers of the wind would suddenly catch some flakes and send them twisting into little white whirlpools of snow. You have to understand it couldn't have happened, never. Not if John hadn't left us there alone. And I begged him not to. But that was before the snow. Yes, before the snow covered the prairie.
Get back in time?
I don't know, Tommy.
It's going to snow soon. Hard, too.
Yes, it's going to snow.
Like last year, will it drift high up against the side of the cabin? Will it, Mom?
I don't know.
Hear that, Mom? Hoofbeats. They're coming off the trail now.
Yes, they're coming here.
It's Paul.
We'll wait until we're sure. John?
Yes, dear, it's me.
John.
My darling, what is it? What's the matter?
I don't know. Maybe the gray clouds and the wind and the feel of things before the storm. Oh, I'm so glad you're back.
Oh, there's nothing to be afraid of.
What's the matter, John?
Nothing.
There is something I can tell.
Not now, dear. We'll talk about it later, after supper. Now, Tommy, what do you say? Do you want to help your pa?
Sure. What do I do? Go around saying to everybody, if you don't pay up your taxes, I'll drive you off your land.
Tommy.
Please, dear. Tommy, I've got a heavy box outside on the horse. Do you think you could help me carry it inside?
Oh, sure I could.
A heavy box, John?
I told you, dear, later. We'll talk about it later.
All right, dear. Later. Tommy's asleep now.
You're sure?
Yes, John.
Good.
Well,
Louise, you've got to help me dig up the floor in here.
Dig up the kitchen floor? Why, John?
That heavy box, all the tax collections are in it.
But you always take them down to the bank.
I've been hearing things about Forsythe, the banker. They say he's going to close.
The bank's failing?
Yes, that's right.
What about our money?
Well, that's why I brought the tax money home this time. And I'll have to leave for town tonight so I can be at the bank first thing in the morning. I'll get our money out, and then I'll bring it back here, and tomorrow I'll take ours and the tax money to Lynch City. I'll put it in the state bank there. It'll be safe.
Are you allowed to do that?
Well, I don't have any choice. If I put the tax money in a bank that was failing, it'd be... well, be criminal. I've got to protect it as best I can.
Of course, John. I understand.
All right, then. Help me get the flooring up.
John, what Tommy said before...
I told you it was nothing.
He shouldn't have said it. I know how I must have hurt you, darling.
Well, I guess it's what he hears from everyone. But it's my job. We've got to live, too. Even this miserable prairie shack so far from town costs money. Don't you think I know how you feel out here alone all the time? I know you'd rather live in town, have the companionship of other women, the comfort when sickness comes. Could I love you and not know how you feel?
I'm not complaining, John.
Oh, sometimes I wish you would.
Oh, please, don't start that again.
Sometimes I wish I had courage to go elsewhere, to take a chance. Like last year, gold. Everybody heading for California. But me, that's my trouble. No courage.
No, John, it isn't that at all. You love Tommy, you love me. You didn't want us to suffer. We know, we understand, dear. Now, you said we have to hide the money? We will.
That's done. Nobody will ever know it's here. Darling.
Yes, dear?
You haven't said anything for a long time.
Do you have to go tonight?
I've got to be in town first thing in the morning to get our money out, I told you.
I know, but the storm, if it starts snowing and you're caught out there on the prairie...
If I start now, I can beat the storm.
But if you don't...
We've got to think about the money, especially now.
You'd like a father more than all the money in the world, John.
Girl, you think it'll be a girl?
I think so.
How can you tell?
Well, I just know, John. As I know that you love me, as I know that I love you... There are things men never understand that are very, very clear to women.
Oh, Louise, Louise, I promise you this. We won't be here long. Maybe even before she comes. You and Tommy and she, you deserve far better than I've given you, but... it'll change. It will.
What do you mean?
Well, you have to trust me about that.
Of course. But... couldn't you do as much for me? Couldn't you trust me, John?
Please, darling.
But I have a right to know, because I'm part of you, because I love you.
I can't tell you, Louise. You've your share to worry about. Tommy, the child that's coming.
And you...
Please, dear.
What is it, John? Don't think I haven't noticed. You stay so little, and at night you toss and turn, and you mutter in your sleep. When you eat, your mind is elsewhere, far off from me and from everything I know. I have a right to know.
I have to do what I think best.
Then you won't tell me.
Oh, darling, darling, don't. It'll be all right. I promise.
Oh, it isn't that. It's just that sometimes I don't know you anymore. You're more like a stranger than a husband. There was a time when we used to share everything, even the dreams, but not anymore.
Louise, I have to go now.
Yes, of course. Promise me one thing.
Yes?
If it starts snowing hard, promise you'll stop at the fort. And you'll wait there overnight and not try to go on to town.
All right, I promise. But you've got to be careful, too. You're to let nobody in here, nobody at all.
You think someone knows about the tax money?
I don't know. But if anybody knocks, don't answer. If they don't go away, then use one of the pistols up there on the fireplace. Drive them away, but don't let them in.
All right, John.
And I'm taking the other pistol with me, just in case. Where's my jacket?
Here. I have it, dear.
Thanks. Now, you won't forget.
Oh, John. on. It's already snowing.
It's all right. I'll make it. I will. And maybe... Well, maybe you'd feel better sleeping in with Tommy tonight.
Oh, it won't be so lonely.
Good. Now, when I step outside, close the door. Latch it shut. Keep it that way till I get back.
Yes, dear. Goodbye. Come back to us safe. Don't be afraid. Pa's not here, but don't be afraid.
Then maybe that's him at the door.
No.
How do you know?
Because I know. Now, be quiet. If we don't answer, whoever it is will go away.
Don't you think we should...
No, Tommy. Well, wait.
Oh, Pa, open up in there.
That's not Pa's voice.
No, it's a stranger. It's a voice I never heard before.
Open, please. If you have any pity, open.
Tommy, let me wrap something warm around you. Here, this will do. Here's my robe. Now... We have to see. It's the least we can do. Come on, dear.
Please, someone, open. Open.
Who is it?
Thank God you're awake at last. Let me in. Let me in.
Who are you?
A soldier from the fort.
From the fort? You mean you have word about my husband?
Please, ma'am, I'm suffering out here. I'm bleeding. Let me in.
Bleeding?
Mom, what are you going to do?
It's a soldier. Wait, I know. If you're really a soldier, come round to the window. I'll hold up the lamp. You show me your military cap.
Ma'am, I'm trying to tell you I'm a soldier from the fort. I've been on patrol. I've been clawed by a bear. I got no cap. I was lucky to get away alive. Please let me in.
No, I can't.
But, ma'am...
My husband told me not to let anyone in. Not anyone.
You can't let a man die. You can't.
Tommy, don't touch that door. Now, the pistol on the fireplace. I'm going to load it. If this is a trick... I'll have to kill him. Help me find the powder, Tommy. You'll have to wait. Where is it, Tommy? Where?
Did Pa take one of the pistols?
Yes. But he must have taken the powder flask, too. Well, a gun's a gun. And as far as any man can tell, it's loaded till he finds out otherwise. But he's got to risk his life to do that. Tommy. I'm going to open the door.
Tonight's story from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented by the makers of Hallmark cards, America's favorite greeting cards. But first, here's a message we know you'll all be interested in.
This is Cy Harris. How are you tonight? You know, sometimes little things have a value far beyond price. The little date book that your Hallmark dealer is waiting to give you, for example. Who can tell what a part it'll play in your life this year? Why... It may do useful things like reminding you to plant early lettuce or to register your child for camp or to put screens on the porch. But it may do far more. It may help to strengthen the ties of affection between you and all of your friends. It's so easy to remember birthdays and anniversaries or a new address when all you have to do is consult your Hallmark datebook. You'll be pleased to see how conveniently it's arranged to keep everything you want to remember right where you can find it all year long. Yet, it's small enough to slip into your handbag so that you can carry it with you everywhere. Tomorrow, just call at the store where you buy Hallmark cards and ask for your 1948 Hallmark datebook. It'll be given to you free, a present from your friendly Hallmark dealer that you can use every day this year. And now, once again, here's your Hallmark host, Les Tremaine.
Our program continues now with the second act of tonight's story, The Hand on the Latch, starring Dorothy McGuire.
The snow. The snow coming straight down. And the knocking on the door. And John not there to help us, protect us. Yes. I remember it now. standing there, touching the empty, useless pistol, and being afraid to open the door and let the stranger in. It was Tommy who brought me back to it all. Rain, ma'am? Yes, Tommy. Ready. You stand aside with the lamp. Don't move till I tell you.
Sure, ma'am.
Hold the lamp up, Tommy. I'm not taking any... Oh, you poor man. You are hurt. What's the matter? Your arm, your right arm.
God, ma'am, I told you I was clawed by a bear.
Oh, come in, come in. Tommy, close the door. And latch it.
Sure.
Now, you sit down here by the fire. I'll heat some water, and I'll fix your arm.
Thank you, ma'am.
No, don't move.
But I was only...
I've still got the pistol. Remember that. Now, sit down. There.
Sure, ma'am. Right there. Good tea.
How does your arm feel now?
Better since you put on that bandage.
That's good.
Now, look, ma'am. You and the boy don't have to sit up. I won't do nothing. All I want is to get some sleep myself.
Sleep?
I ain't asking for a bed. This blanket. I can sleep right here. In the kitchen. On the floor.
The kitchen? On the floor?
Not on the tub anymore, and I have to.
The kitchen?
You could spare me a blanket, couldn't you? Please, ma'am?
All right. You can sleep out here. But don't forget, I've got a gun.
You don't need no protection against me, ma'am. None at all. Now, can I have the blanket?
Yes. Yes, you can have it, soldier.
Get me sleep.
Tommy. Your father never forgive himself. Why did he take the gunpowder with him?
He looked scared, that soldier. Mm. When you pointed the gun at him, I could see it.
What if he finds out? Tommy! Don't say a word. Just hold your breath and listen.
I don't hear anything.
I do.
You do?
Listen again. It sounds... like the soldiers digging at the kitchen floor.
But what for? There's nothing but dirt under there.
Tommy, listen to me. This is important for you and me, but most of all, it's important for your pa. All the tax money is hidden out there under the kitchen floor.
The tax money?
That's right. Don't you see, it's up to us, you and me, Tommy, to save that money for your pa. That soldier out there. Maybe he's no soldier at all. Maybe his uniform's a trick. And that story about the bear... maybe it was all a trick to get in here. We were fools. Fools.
You think so?
Maybe. And we've got to get a weapon. I know. Pa's knife. It's in the toolbox in the kitchen. Here. We'll have to get it. Come on, Tommy.
The soldier's asleep, Mom.
He may be faking.
Shh. Can you find the toolbox?
It should be here. Somewhere. I have it.
Have you got the knife yet, Mom?
No, no. There, I have it now. I'll get it open. There. Now, are you ready?
Mom!
You heard it this time. And the soldier didn't move.
Yeah, Mom.
It isn't a soldier at all. Tommy, it's coming from the door. Someone's trying to break in here.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. Wait. The soldier.
But you see,
we have no choice. Maybe he is lying, but we have to do it. If he's really a soldier, he'll help us. He must, he must.
There's that sound again, and it's coming from the door. There is someone trying to break in.
We have to wake that soldier up. He's got to help us. Come on, Tommy. Soldier. Soldier?
Huh?
Listen to me.
What?
above a whisper. I'm trouble.
Trouble, ma'am? What do you mean?
Look, I don't know who you are or what you are, but what happens to us from now on depends on you. If you're really a good man, an honest man, you've got to help us. You've got to. There's a thief at the door trying to break in.
Trying to break in here?
Yes.
What for? You got nothing worth taking.
The tax money's hidden under...
Mom, you told him.
Now, look, ma'am. You don't have to worry about me. I told you that. But if you're thinking of trapping a thief, I can't help you much.
But you've got to. Please, please.
My arm, the right one, the one I use all the time, it ain't no good. And besides, you got a gun.
A gun's no good at all. We've got no powder. But I've got a knife. Will it help?
Well, we're not as bad off as you'd think. I got a gun.
There. Hear that?
Yeah. I know that sound. Somebody trying to pry off a latch. Now, look, ma'am. You take my gun. I can't fire straight with the left hand. And the knife. Give me the knife.
You want the knife?
Ma'am, if you want me to help, trust me some. Give me that knife.
All right.
Here. Now take the gun out of my holster. Here. She's a six shooter. Now you, Sonny, get out of here. Go in the other room. Hide.
You're gonna leave my mom.
Go on, Tommy, please. I want you to.
Don't you say so.
Now look, ma'am. You take up a stand here. And when the door gives way, the second you see that thief, start firing and keep firing till he hits the floor. That'll take care of the first one. And if that don't scare the others off, I'll take him on with the knife.
The latch is giving.
Hold that gun steady.
I have it.
That's good. They're using a heavy bar now. That latch has got to give. Steady.
Steady.
As soon as the door opens, ma'am, remember.
I know.
No more, ma'am.
No.
There was no more than one. Now, you better get the lamp.
Yes.
Hold it close down. No, don't touch him. I can roll him over with my foot. Wearing a black kerchief over his face, they all do.
Dead? Is he dead?
Yes, ma'am. No need to worry about him anymore. Where'll I get the mask off? There's your robber, ma'am. You know him?
No. I don't know him.
Strange you know about the money. Never seen him before, huh?
Seen him? Oh, yes. He's my husband.
Husband? Now, look at me, ma'am. Listen to me. You think he came back to rob himself so as he could keep the money?
Stranger. He's a stranger.
Ma'am, makes sense. You just said he was your husband.
Husband? Yes, but I don't know him. I see now. I never really knew him at all.
Thank you, Dorothy McGuire. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss McGuire will be back in just a moment. But first, here is Cy Harris again.
And now I want to tell you more about that wonderful little date book that you can obtain free from your Hallmark dealer. Now, this 1948 date book is so beautiful that every time a woman carries one to a party, it causes a flurry of excitement. She may take her date book out of her handbag to jot down a social engagement or the name of a new book, the address of a new friend, and immediately all the other women exclaim over it. Want to know if they're too late to get one, too. You know, it's a bad feeling to see something as useful and attractive as the 1948 Hallmark datebook and realize you might have had one free if only you'd asked for it in time. And that's why I hope you'll ask for a datebook tomorrow at the store where you buy Hallmark cards. You'll receive one free, a beautiful little present that will help to make life easier and happier for you all this year.
Thank you, Cy Harris. And now, once again, here is the star of tonight's show, Dorothy McGuire. That was a wonderful performance, Dorothy. We've enjoyed having you with us tonight.
I've enjoyed it too, Les. And now, what's on your schedule for next week?
Roger Pryor will star in The Strange Story of John Erickson. Can we count you in our audience?
It's a date. And that gives me an idea. Why don't I initiate my Hallmark date book right now by putting down that date?
Well, that's perfect, Dorothy. And we hope all our friends will keep that date with us next week when the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you a story from real life from the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Strange Story of John Erickson, starring Roger Pryor.
tonight's story, Dorothy McGuire was supported by Eric Bressler as the soldier and Everett Sloan as Jock. The Hand on the Latch was dramatized by Henry Baker and was based on a story by Mary Chumley and retold by Anthony Abbott as it appeared in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Smoove, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. To be doubly sure of the finest quality, always look on the back of your cards for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Hallmark cards are sold only by selected quality stores, never sold from door to door. Remember Hallmark cards when you carry enough to send the very best. Now, this is your Hallmark host, Les Tremaine, saying goodnight to you all until next week at the same time. See you then.